Good morning. It's exactly 9 o'clock right here on Urban Radio 94.5 FM. Welcome to the Urban Parliament on Tuesday, 6th day of October 2020. Thank you for joining us once again. We hope you enjoy this interesting hour plus with us. My name is Adobe, and today on the Parliament, we'll be looking at the rising rate of brutality from officers of the Nigerian Police Force and, of course, the Federal Special Anti-Robbery Squad, known as the FSARS. If we have been following trends on social media for quite some time now, for several years, there's been clamor from different spheres for an end to police harassment and police brutality, and also actions of men of the FSARS that have led to death of several Nigerian youth. Most Nigerian youth wake up with the hope of achieving something for that day, but in contrary to their plans and aspirations, their lives are being terminated. And from latest reports, according to Wikipedia, Nigeria is the number one African country that has the highest record of death caused by law enforcement agencies or law enforcement officers, with about 841 people killed as at 2019. And this is way above South Africa with 436 people, and Burkina Faso with 116 people, and the DR Congo, that's the Democratic Republic of Congo, with about 389 people killed by men of the security force. And the Nigerian police force remains mired in deeply entrenching patterns of torture, patterns of corruption, murder, and other forms of human rights abuse and violation. And the men of the SARS are not left out in this brutality. In recent months, we've had the hashtag #EndSARS campaign, which has flooded social media on several accounts. But the issue is, after the trending of the hashtags, what next? Today on the Parliament, we'll outline reasons for this brutality and look critically at the enforcement ban of the FSARS and other tactical units which are responsible for these menace. In recent information, the Inspector General of Police banned the FSARS, the Special Tactical Squad, that's the STS, also banned the Intelligence Response Team, the IRT, from routine patrol on streets. I'm just going to refresh our memories once again. The IGP also banned the FSARS, the STS, and IRT from conventional low-risk duties. That's the stop and search, the checkpoint, mounting of roadblocks, the traffic checks with immediate effect. The IGP has warned that no police officer, including personnel of the FSARS, the STS, and IRT, is authorized to embark on patrol or tactical assignment in Mufti. The IGP also directed that the FSARS, the STS, and IRT personnel must appear in police uniforms or approved tactical gear while on official assignment. The IGP banned the indiscriminate and unauthorized search of mobile phones, laptops, and other smart devices. The IGP also directed that personnel of the FSARS and other tactical squads concentrate and respond only to cases of armed robbery, kidnapping, and other violent crimes when the need arises. He also ordered the X-Squad and the monitoring unit to monitor and arrest erring personnel of FSARS and other policemen on the road. Also, he warned that henceforth, the CP in charge of FSARS, the CPs, that's Commissioners of Police in charge of state commands, and the FCT as well as their supervisory, zonal AIGs, will be held liable for misconduct of personnel of the FSARS units and others within their jurisdiction. And in line with the above mentioned, the IGP also charged the affected AIGs and CPs to ensure an effective supervision of personnel of the FSARS as well as others within their jurisdiction. He also appealed to citizens not to allow the misconduct by a few personnel of the force to negatively impact on their confidence and trust in the Nigerian police force. All right, on that note, I would love to say good morning to my guests, Mr. Larry Oguego, the National Coordinator of the Human Rights Volunteer Corps, HRVC. Good morning.
Good morning, Adobe. It's good to be here. I want to welcome everybody who's listening to us this morning and prepare to have a great outing.
All right, we apparently would have had the police PPRO, but apparently he couldn't turn up, talking about Dan Ndukwe. But we'll further continue the conversation. All right, Mr. Larry, this is not the first time there's been a ban on men of the SARS unit. who take it upon themselves to perpetrate acts of violence, acts of killings, abduction, extortion. When you get to listen to the stories, you get to hear cases of exploitation from the youth. I can recall back in 2017, the IGP banned their operations. And the same pronouncement was made sometime in September of 2018 and even February of this year. Why does it seem that even with the pronouncements, these men are still on rampage? These men are still going about carrying out their duties illegally.
Thank you for the question, which is actually a very important question. We've had recurrent bans slammed on personnel of Special Anti-Robbery Squad, popularly known as SARS. Incidentally and unfortunately, the bans don't get to work. The reason is simple. We tend to forget that we are creatures of habit. Human beings are creatures of habit, essentially. We are ruled by the habits that we have formed over time. Now, in the case of the police, we are not just discussing habits here. We are also discussing lifestyle. So when a policeman has formed the habit of extorting money from people by mounting illegal checkpoints and roadblocks and arresting people who don't deserve to be arrested so that money will be extorted from them, it's difficult to restrain that person from doing those things by merely issuing directives. Why? Because, one, there's a habit. The person is a creature of habit. The person is used to going out maybe every evening to go and get some cash. And then the habit goes beyond just getting the cash. The person also has formed habits around spending the cash. So he may hang out every other day to burn some of the cash that he made. And then we also look at the issue of lifestyle. A lot of public servants, including policemen in Nigeria, live above their means, far above their means. In other words, you cannot in any way, no matter how you stretch your imagination, be able to balance the equation between the salary they are supposed to be earning and the money they spend on a regular basis. So when this policeman maybe lives in a fancy house, put the children in fancy private schools, you know, and pays a fortune for these services, you don't expect him to become a nice policeman because somebody gave an instruction from Abuja. So he was going to explain to the wife that we have to move out of this our apartment and go into a two-bedroom apartment or maybe one room in a yard because the IGP said I shouldn't do business anymore. Or he will explain to the son, oh, you have to leave this your fine school with air-conditioned classrooms and go to a public school without restrooms and all of that, basically because somebody gave an instruction. What am I saying in effect? These guys that we are talking to are used to making a whole lot of money illegally from the things they do. They have formed the habit of making this money. They have also formed the habit of spending the money on certain things. And these habits have actually led to a lifestyle that they have been used to over the years. And they cannot change these things primarily because somebody made a pronouncement. So if the IGP wants any change, not just within SARS, but with other tactical formations, special units, and even the police on a general note, then he has to think as if there is no box, because thinking out of box will not work. He has to think of other solutions that will be able to solve the problem of the habits that have been formed and the lifestyle of the policemen. Of course, one point we must not overlook is the fact that we have given policemen license subconsciously to act with force even when it's not necessary. I need to say this again.
How have you done that subconsciously?
Subconsciously, we call the Nigeria police force. Now, it looks like a joke, but it's not a joke. We need to sit down and remove the force. We have to explain to them that we cannot be discussing community policing and at the same time be discussing police force. When you say you are actually engaging in what we call intelligence-led policing, in other words, you are relying more on intelligence, gathering intelligence, using your own capacity to investigate and solve problems using your brain, not using your muscles. You cannot be discussing intelligence-led policing, community policing, and you are still calling the people a police force. And what do we call their headquarters at Abuja? We call it force headquarters, the place from where force emanates. When you say a person works with a police force, and at the same time you're telling the person to be humane, which is what we are seeing in the new police act, that you have to treat people in a humane manner, and he works for a force. There's a serious contradiction there. Police institutions are not supposed to be forces in that sense. The colonial police that we inherited could have been called the police force. Why? Because they were supposed to use force to oppress us to obey the colonial masters. We are not supposed to have colonial masters anymore. I almost said we don't have colonial masters anymore, but I realized that we have a different set of masters. That's not the subject matter for today. The truth is that we have a different set of masters who are interested in still subjugating us by force. But the truth is that we are supposed to be a democratic nation. So to that extent, we should sit down and consider the effect of names on people and institutions. If we call the place, the institution, Nigeria Police Force, and then we call their headquarters force headquarters, and we expect them to be nice and kind when you have consistently reminded them that they are supposed to be a force, then in those days when we were younger, the special units like the police mobile squad, that is, we call the mobile police, they were called kill and go. In fact, sometimes they also refer to themselves as kill and go. And when you begin to call yourself a force, and then you use appellations like kill and go casually, kill and go, and the policeman will tell you at a checkpoint that if you do this, I'll waste you and nothing will happen. That's a sense of impunity arising from the fact that they know that they're running a force. They're permitted to use force unreasonably. And if we don't also address that mindset of using force unreasonably, we are not going to make progress with this issue of extrajudicial killing, maiming people, brutalizing people, even when there is absolutely no reason.
And still speaking about force, you also said the effect of the names. What exactly are the roles of the security agencies, especially the FSARS and the Nigerian Police Force? What exactly are their duties? Because one would wonder, the SARS unit, Special Anti-Robbery Squad, but they do more than what their name actually stipulates. So from your own understanding, what do you think the FSARS is actually set up to actually do in Nigeria, and the role of the police force as well?
The FSARS was set up, and then SARS generally, Special Anti-Robbery Squad, SARS, was set up primarily to combat robbery and violent crimes. The name is self-explanatory. The IGP, the Inspector General of Police, said as much. You don't actually need to be a professor or a police officer to know that Special Anti-Robbery Squad means Special Anti-Robbery Squad, a squad that fights robbery. And that's the reason why they were set up. We also have other technical units like the Anti-Cult Unit. Their job primarily is to fight cultism. We have the Anti-Kidnapping Unit. Their job is to ordinarily fight crimes related to kidnapping. So the Special Anti-Robbery Squad is supposed to be an elite unit that is supposed to respond to distress calls concerning violent crime, especially armed robbery. Unfortunately, these men go to mount checkpoints and roadblocks when there is no sign nor intelligence that a crime is about to be committed in that area. And that is why some days ago in the southwestern part of Nigeria, hoodlums, they said about six of them, went to a bank, operated for about 40 minutes, made away with millions of naira, and they were not accosted physically by policemen. And there's a Special Anti-Robbery Squad in every state in Nigeria. So I started asking myself, where were the Special Anti-Robbery Squad officers when this robbery was going on? 40 minutes was more than enough for any policeman at any location within that state to go and confront those men. They were probably manning checkpoints, or probably arresting people who transacted in business and the business failed. They were obviously being distracted. Or maybe they felt it wasn't worthwhile to go and confront armed robbers. Maybe. But I know that when you focus on that which is not your primary duty, you neglect that which is your primary duty. I'll say that again. When you focus on that, which is not your primary duty, you neglect that, which is your primary duty. So because when you focus on checkpoints and arresting people and recovering debt and all kinds of things you shouldn't be doing, what happens is that you lose focus concerning that which you should be doing, concerning that which is your primary duty, that is combating robbery and all of that.
Yeah,
other
violent crimes. Which is the main purpose. Which is,
which
their
is
main
the main
role.
Purpose of which they're established.
The question is, why do we see them on the streets harassing young men and women? What would you think, or what would you peg as the reason for most of their actions? Since they know, or the question is, do they even know their roles in the first place? And if they do, why then should they be doing other things other than what they were in the first place appointed to do?
You ask two questions. Do they know what they should be doing? And if they know, why should they be doing something else? I know that they know what they should be doing. That is, they know what they should be doing. It's obvious. A special anti-robbery squad, they're supposed to combat violent crime, and they know. So why should they be doing something else? Because they want the illicit gain from the activities that they engage in. The primary motive is illicit wealth. You see, sometimes Nigerians pretend that they don't know what is happening or that they don't understand what is happening. It's good you ask the question, but the question is something that we all know the answer. That is, they leave their offices, go to the checkpoint, collect money, you know, basically establish a toll gate, collect money from people. Sometimes you may have a bigger problem, like you have a tinted glass or your engine number is mixed up, and then you become big business. So basically, they go to the checkpoints to do business. There's no other reason. And then when they do things like debt recovery, so somebody's owing you ₦1 million, ₹5 million, they actually slam a commission on you, and then they do everything within their powers, or rather everything outside their powers. Outside their powers, because they don't have the power to do debt recovery. To recover, they say $5 million, and then you give them maybe 30% of the money. Before, it used to be 10%. Now it's not 10% anymore. They negotiate. And sometimes when they recover the money, they actually take what they want to take and give you what they want to give you. So these things are driven by profits. That is illicit gain. There is no other way to say it. Some people call it corruption. You can call it any name you like. But the truth is that they are driven by the illegitimate gain that they make when they do these things. That is the primary reason. And I must also say at this point that most of the policemen are a reflection of the nation that we have. That is not making excuses for them. But I want to point this out, because the businessman who goes to engage a SARS operative to go and recover debt for him, most of the time knows that it is not the duty of SARS to recover debt. And he goes to induce a police officer to recover debt for him. And unfortunately, when we discipline the police officer, that is, assuming there is some kind of miracle, and the police officer gets into trouble, and we choose to discipline the police officer, most of the time, we don't discipline the man who induced the officer to go and do something that is not right. And unfortunately, citizens don't go to court to enforce their rights. And these things create a vicious cycle where people consistently recruit police officers to do their own personal bidding. That is, go and recover my rent, go and recover my debt, go and get him to do this or do that. Use your powers. So you see people actually fabricate charges, because the policeman will actually tell the client, in quote, to write a petition, write it like this, say he did that, say it's a business transaction, right? Oh, no, don't write it's a business transaction, we don't have the power to do that. Write that he duped you. Don't worry what I'll do, they just write. And these are the things that happen. I've had cases where people reported to us that a policeman actually told them to write so-and-so statement. He said, no, I won't write that, that's not what happened. He said, so you're not serious, so get out of my office. I thought you wanted help. So it's business we are talking about here. But then, like I said, they are a reflection of the values of Nigerians, because it is Nigerians that hire them to do business. But that does not mean they should continue doing that business. I want to say this clearly. If you're a police officer, you have chosen a noble calling. If you're a police officer, you have chosen a calling that is a higher calling than the regular business that some of us decided to do. It is important that we say that again. If you're a police officer, you've chosen a higher calling. If the rest of us are corrupt, you cannot be corrupt. Why? Because you have chosen a profession that actually places a demand on you to stop us from being corrupt. If the rest of us are bad citizens, we shouldn't be a bad citizen. If the rest of us do the things we shouldn't do because we are weak in character, you shouldn't join the police force if you don't want to become strong in character. and stop us from doing the wrong things. So if you have chosen that career, you have chosen a higher calling. So don't tell me, oh, because I said that it's a reflection of what Nigerians do, that you have license. You don't have license. Why? Because you chose a higher calling. If you're a priest, you chose a higher calling. If you're a judge, you chose a higher calling. If you're a teacher, you chose a higher calling. There are some professions that are actually different from the rest of the professions. Why? Because we look up to you people to direct us, to tell us what to do, to be role models, to be examples. So if you're a policeman, you chose a higher calling. It is unfortunate that you don't live up to the higher calling. In United Kingdom, you ask a kid sometimes, what do you want to be when you grow up? The person will say, a police officer, a fireman. These are professions that we deride and laugh about in Nigeria. Why? Because they don't live up to their reputations. But guess what? In UK, a kid wants to be a police officer. Why? Because when he's stranded, a police officer will bend down, hold him by the hand and help him cross the road, take him home. You know, so he grows to love police officers. They are not violent. They are nice. You know, they go to play games with the bobby standing in front of number 10 Downing Street. They'll go and play and do something. Let's see if this bobby will shake. And you know, the police are just standing like a tree. They're like, wow, this guy is amazing. You know, but not in Nigeria. If you go and play with a Nigerian policeman, you may not now, be able to tell the story of what happened to you.
Now, as far back as 2018, SARS was banned from mountain roadblocks, but it's obvious that they still do. Where do you think they get the power to do what they actually do? Are they more like stronger than the IGP himself who makes the orders?
They are not stronger than the IGP. They don't have the power. You know, the IGP said something during his speech. He said that the X-Squad should monitor. Now, the X-Squad are also policemen. They are supposed to monitor what police officers and policemen do. How many members of X-Squad do we have? These X-Squad operatives, did they fall from the sky? They were first of all policemen. They passed through the ranks. Then they were appointed into the X-Squad. Then how many are there? How many checkpoints do they have to monitor? How do they manage corruption within the police? In other words, how do you ensure that the person you send to go and monitor the roadblocks doesn't get returns from the proceeds from the roadblock? So the IGP must do something. If he wants this his instruction to work, he needs to have the moral strength, moral courage to do something. He must hire the citizens, hire people like me and you to actually give him feedback. Not giving feedback through X-Squad or through some fancy police officer somewhere who will throw away our petitions. No, he has to find men of integrity within the force, establish a monitoring unit right under his desk, that is under his office, and then empower us to tell him what happens on our roads, to give him feedback on policemen who are consistently abusing us and harassing us. And if he decides to take this advice, he must act when we report. If I report that this man slapped me and you don't do anything, that man mounted illegal roadblock, you don't do anything, the man actually recovered debt from my friend, and I say, but did your friend actually owe the man? I know that's not the question you should be asking me. You should be asking, does he have the power to recover debt? Now, if you don't do something about the reports that we send to you, we may not have the encouragement to continue sending the reports. That's what's happening presently. The police actually is one of the few institutions that have several internal mechanisms, so many of them, to encourage people to seek redress internally before they go outside. We have the PCB, the Public Complaints Bureau. We have the Office of the PPRO. We have the X-Squad.
Yeah.
We have the Office of the Commissioner. We have several policemen who are empowered to actually weigh in when citizens feel that they have been abused. We have the Office of the Provost. But citizens actually most of the time have lost interest in reporting cases. Why? Because it takes so much energy to get the police to even move. What I mean is to get up and move towards resolving the problem. Then when they move, and then they find the officer culpable, what happens to the officer? Most of the time, a slap on the wrist. Okay, so you are serving in this police station, maybe Transekulu police station. So we transfer you to Atralaut police station. Or worst case scenario, assuming you don't have a godfather somewhere, we transfer you to a village. That's not punishment. It means that we are exporting the violence or the bribery and corruption from the city to the village. We are not sanctioning the policeman. For me, that's not sanction. Because give him a few months, he'll walk his way back into the same city that he was transferred from. So we need to get to a stage where the IGP we hire the citizens, in quotes. That is, he will partner with us. That's what community policing means. That is, he should give us the power to become part of the policing process. Community policing does not mean the hiring men from the communities to carry guns and police us. No. It means making us partners in policing our own communities. So when he gives us that power to report back to him, and then we also have the power to see that the policing systems and institutions are transparent. When we become genuine partners, not just partners in painting their fences and buying furniture for them and giving them cars, when they make us real partners, then we can give the IGP feedback. And when we give him feedback and he acts on the feedback, he will see a torrent of feedbacks. We'll give him more, a whole lot more. When the policemen now understand that there's no hiding place, in other words, if you mount to a checkpoint, within 5 minutes of mounting that checkpoint, somebody at Abuja is calling the CP in the state to tell him that there's an illegal checkpoint at so-and-so place, go and arrest them now. This will stop. What is happening is that we are paying mere lip service to a national crisis because we've lost so many young people. You know, Amnesty International and all these institutions are talking about 800 and something persons dead by 2019. That's not true by any stretch of imagination because most of the deaths are not recorded. A lot of Nigerians actually go and bury their dead. No, if you go and report, does it wake the person up? No. Let's just go and bury our dead. Most people who are killed by security agents actually do not go ahead to file a complaint and document the death. I know because a lot of these complaints come to our office also. So we need to actually understand that it's a massive incident. And we're not just talking of killing people, we're also talking of maiming people. There's a young man who was shot on both knees by a police officer in Enugu State some time ago, not under the dispensation of the present CP. But he was shot on both knees without provocation of any sort. So he's now lame. That guy said that he would have preferred to be dead, that they could have just shot him and killed him, rather than just make sure that he wasn't going to be able to walk again.
Okay.
So we are also supposed to be talking about such incidents where they don't kill the person, but they make the person useless, completely useless, a liability to the rest of us.
And the question is, how much more can we bear? Because when you get to listen to most of these police officers, they get to threaten the masses. And people get to ask the question, is this what they were appointed for in the first place? You get to hear statements like, I will waste your life, I will destroy you and you will do nothing about it. Actually, judicial killings keep going on and on. How long more can we bear? Because from your statement, you said that compliance level is really going to be difficult because this is more like a habit and it's going to take time for the enforcement to actually take effect.
It's not just about the fact that it's going to take time for the enforcement of the IGP's instruction to take effect. The truth is that it may never take effect unless something changes. The instruction will not take effect unless there is a new method of enforcing the instruction. We've had these instructions before. September 2018, we had the instructions. In fact, it's a recurring decimal. Anytime someone dies, then we get new instructions. Basically, the same kind of instructions. And then after some time, we all forget. The IGP will forget. The SARS folks will forget. The rest of us will forget. And then wait for the next incident. And then the next uproar on social media. And then the next set of instructions. And then the cycle continues. So it's not going to stop anytime soon. Unless the IGP decides to do something different. And the IGP may not even know what to do. I said may not know what to do. But even if he does know what to do, he cannot actually solve this problem without the active cooperation of the citizens. And we don't have to wait for the IGP to know what to do. I have a simple recommendation, and I make that recommendation with all sense of responsibility. Citizens fund the police. Now, I'm not talking about the allocations they get from taxpayers' money. I'm talking about the fact that citizens, especially in the Southeast, fund the police. Not long ago, traders from the Headbridge Medicine Market, popularly known as Obogwo, donated 3 vehicles to, I think, Zone 13 at Oka to help in policing Anambra, Enugu, and Ebonyi states. They bought 3 vehicles and gave to the police. That is the height of cooperation, helping them to make the institution work better, giving them the tools of the trade. In several communities in different states, like in Anambra State, they give the local police station funds to help them manage patrols and all of that.
Yeah.
They help renovate the police stations. Sometimes wealthy individuals donate vehicles and even build stations all by themselves. Several stations in Anambra State were built by the individuals. That is, a lot of those billionaires build stations from scratch. Now, let me say this. We cannot fund an institution that makes life impossible for us. I want to just say this with all sense of responsibility. If you are a PG in a community and you give money to the DPU and the station to help them function well, and the same station extorts money from women who are going to the market in Kwo and Eke to sell their wares, they extort money from them, and you still give the DPU money, then it means that something is wrong with you. And I say that with all sense of responsibility. It means you are not thinking well. Because you cannot give him that money to cushion whatever challenges he may have in running the station. And then he goes ahead to tax your people illegally and make life unbearable for them. And then for some of you billionaires who buy these things and these cars, and then they use the cars to extort money from us and to kill us, and you don't ask them questions, then something is wrong with you too. For the members of certain institutions like the PCRC that actually do a whole lot of work for the Nigerian police. Police Community Relations Committee. Police Community Relations Committee. One would expect that that particular committee will help build the relationship between the police and the community. But what do they build? They build fences, paint offices, buy furniture, and they don't get to build the relationship between the police and the community.
Okay.
If you're a leader of the PCRC, you have a responsibility to give the police feedback and hold them accountable, because you invest in their welfare. And one of the solutions we need to begin to explore, especially in the southeastern part of Nigeria, is to withdraw our support if they don't want to partner with us. Partnership is not only in collecting our money, telling us to repair vehicles for them, paint offices, buy furniture. We need to engage constructively, you know. But if after all the engagement, the person insists on maltreating us, we should identify those stations and units and institutions that actually maltreat us and refuse to cooperate with them.
Right.
The law says, as good citizens, that we should cooperate with law enforcement agents when they do their legitimate duty.
Okay.
It's provided clearly in the course of their legitimate duty. What it means is that if they do illegitimate duties, we should not encourage them in any way. So I think that's one of the things we must begin to think about. In fact, we must begin to do nothing about. If they continue to do illegitimate duties, we should withdraw our support, because it is not our duty as citizens to fund illegitimate duties or to support or encourage illegitimate duties.
All right. So this morning we are joined on the phone by the Police Public Relations Officer here in Enugu State, Dan Ndokwe. Good morning.
Good morning, Adeoji.
Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. I know I've been listening to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's nice having you here this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
All right, let's talk about the pronouncement of the ban on the FSARs and other tactical units. How is the Enugu State Police Command receiving these orders and directives? I'm pretty sure you know that the state is not exempted when it comes to harassment from men of the Special Anti-Robbery Squad.
No state, no command, no area in Nigeria is exempted from the untoward activities of some of our members. Like we'd always say, the bad ex amongst us who have decided at every point in time to go the other way and do what is not expected of them. Nobody likes that. The commission of police, anywhere, any police officer that understands the essence of being a police officer, nobody, no one of us likes the fact that there are a few of us who, on a daily basis, would decide to do things the way they ought not to do that. But that, having said that, you realize that the directive of the Inspector General of Police, IGP Mohammed Adamu Abubakar, MPMMNI, is targeted at not just building better goodwill, ensuring that members of the public and the citizens for which we work for keep better fit with the police, but to also ensure that what we do it in the most professional manner. There are no two ways about it. When we heard most of these hue and cries, you realize it's not everyone in the force that does that. A few of us do that. And there's no justification for some of those untoward actions. And like we would always say, there are consequences. I have been listening to Larry, but you look it looks every bit like the scale of people suffering for whatever action they are taking doesn't most times may not come to public purview, and it seems as though nothing is happening. I will tell you the honest truth. I've said this, I will always say, there's no police officer that enjoys undergoing internal disciplinary measure. As we speak, there are some very senior police officers, even ranging from the rank of AIG, who are facing disciplinary measure of the force. But these things most of the time would never get to the public purview because they remain internal things. And they must be handled as such. And they are handled, and we make sure, the system makes sure that whoever is found culpable suffers whatsoever consequences commensurate with the actions or inactions the person of the person that amounted to a disciplinary.
But why making it an internal disciplinary action? It gives the public the notion that nothing has been done when it comes to discipline of most of these security officers who actually air.
It doesn't mean the police is no longer an organization. No matter how public an organization becomes, it is still an organization. It must have some internal thing. There's not everything I do inside of the office that you know outside. Right? But we are saying, just like the IGP himself has directed, it comes a point in time where drastic measures must be taken against those who have decided to always act in ways that will not just throw the force in a bad light, but will make every other member of the force look as though we are all bad. We are not. A bulk of us are very good. A bulk of us are very fantastic police officers. And you should agree with me that the Nigerian police, however the strength still remain very inadequate, is the single largest organization, public agency of government.
Now, when you speak about the Nigerian police force, the question on most Nigerians' mind, the men of the SARS and other tactical units, that's the special tactical squad, the intelligence response team, the anti-corruption squad, are they under the Nigerian police force?
They can never be on their own. They are basically units of the Nigerian police force. And they are established and they are meant to achieve those very goals or objectives for which they were established. You talk about the SARS, you're talking no more than anti-robbery activities and the rest of that, anti-kidnapping, you know, something against kidnapping, anti-cultism against cultism, the response team to respond to whatsoever situation that needs emergency response. These are the primary roles of this very unit or departments of the force. And once they go beyond what they are expected to do, you and I know that it becomes an issue. And that is one that the IGP himself has directed that action must be taken. We can't continue getting some of these hues and cries here and there. And the force has always been there under the leadership of the IGP, and more importantly, under the leadership of the Commissioner of Police, Enugu State Police Command, CP Ahmad Abdulrahman. I would tell you, I can beat my chest to say it any day, any time. He's a no-nonsense person. He wouldn't take it. As we speak, several people have suffered some of those consequences. But most of the time, like I said, when you put people through some of these internal disciplinary measures, they are not from the word go a public thing. Until when it's expedient that it goes public, it goes public. It's like a man that has been tried in court. It's the same thing. The same way you, because even you that has committed this offense, you should enjoy a measure of, how do I put it, of your right, of your person, until a judgment is passed as to you being, in quote, convicted for any offense or allegation that you have been, you've been leveled against you.
All right. Now let's understand the content of this ban clearly. The IG banned routine patrol on the streets. What exactly is this routine patrol, or are they other forms of patrol? And these routine patrols, are there really effective strategies in the operations of the Nigerian police force? Are they really necessary?
They are extremely necessary. It may be one of the major strategies to not just police effectively, but also get the kind of result you need to get in terms of policing. Now, what the IGP has done, in going by the trend, going by what has been the constant allegations of abuses of fundamental human rights, extrajudicial killings, and the rest of that, leveled against the force, especially the FSAS and the rest of them, you realize that these things wouldn't have happened if these men were operatives were not on the road carrying out routine patrols, stop and search duties at various checkpoints, mounting of roadblock, claiming to be doing traffic duties.
Now, it seems that most of these routine patrols have been abused. It's no longer what we expect it to be.
That is the complaint against this very unit of the police that led to the ban. The IGP wouldn't have woken up and decided to say, okay, let's shut down and a given strategy that has been bringing up results. It has been bringing in results. There are no doubts about it. But the point is, the very moment you decide to go deviate from what is this, the rule of engagement in the performance of that given duty, automatically you give the authority no choice but to find reason to say, okay, let's whittle down this form of activity. It doesn't mean patrol has stopped. But we are saying because of the excess complaint leveled against this specific unit, who have been seen, as the allegation has it, to be high-handed, to be uncivil, not to be professional enough, then he has no choice. So it's okay, let's stop you from doing this thing and see if we're going to get the kind of result we need. I am troubled as a person because I see it's beyond just this. It's not just about banning. It's not just about disbanding. I think it's a system thing. We must collectively, as a people, begin to find reasons to make our policing work. Policing is not just a Nigerian police thing. It's a society thing. So we must all work hands in glove.
Now, these tactical units and operations, most of them, the stop and search, the routine patrols, at least to an extent, will be stopped. It's not going to be as rampant as we had it before. It boils down to asking the question, what happens to maintenance of law and order? Are we headed to an increased crime rate, seeing the ban imposed on these security agencies?
The ban is for the special squad.
Okay, not for the police force.
It doesn't mean that the entire order, if you check, go through the press release that was made by the first PRO, and the one I'm sure by the end of today will also be coming through from the command, you realize it is basically about these various tactical squads who go beyond what they ought to do to find themselves on the road doing what they ought not to do. Now, it doesn't mean an eye is not being placed on any other, especially the conventional policemen who will go out to do patrol duties, stop and search, who will do visibility policing. It doesn't, in fact, the directive is so weighty that it is not, them is just like, their own is a done deal, so to speak. An eye, 100%, is being placed on every other police, conventional police person who is meant to be on the road, for instance, to carry out visibility policing in terms of conducting stop and search, patrols here and there, and the rest of that. So it's all a reawakening process. It doesn't mean the system has not been doing something, but more than ever, efforts are being made to ensure that whoever goes out to perform any duty expected of that person, the person does that in the most professional manner, the person does that in the most acceptable manner, bearing in mind the fundamental human right of citizens. You don't just do, I always tell myself, I don't do this job for myself, I do it for myself and the public. Because if you are not the reason why I exist as a police, then I don't exist.
All right, and so I'm part
that
of... Bearing
that in mind, we must work to meet the needs of members of the public whose tax payment is the basis for which we earn our salary.
And when it comes to meeting the needs of the people, part of the fears of the masses is not in the ban, but in the enforcement of the ban. Because barely 12 hours after the pronouncement of the ban, men of the SARS unit were pictured in several parts of the country. Just yesterday, in the space of 12 hours, somewhere in Lagos State, somewhere in Benin, and even in Port Harcourt, carrying out their regular harassment. What do you have to say in regards to this? Is it that the information has not been well communicated by the different police commands down to these men?
You know, like I said earlier, the police is a very large organization. All right? And you and I know we operate in some under some circumstances that for now are not as top-notch as they should be. All right? You might pass an injunction from Abuja. Mind you, this thing happened, both the prices and everything, plus or minus, over the weekend. Now, before you run down this information down the line, for now, we do not have the kind of system that makes it absolutely possible for such information to go down the line immediately. All right? It is possible there are some people who would have acted out of ignorance, thinking something like that never existed. But as I speak to you, there's a very heavy, watered instruction and directive reading a message from the Inspector of General Police beyond just the press release that was made by the first PRO. So moving forward as we speak, this very moment, you, whatsoever you call yourself, SARS or whatever you call, and you decide to go out there to do whatsoever, is against this directive of the Inspector of General Police. I tell you, you're doing that at your own peril. The first thing we don't like might come out of it. The Commissioner of Police, Enugu State Police Command, CP Ahmed Abdulrahman, MCPSS, MCGM, and IM, himself has warned, even before, I told you, I'm on the press list. It's just because of this very work we are doing. Later in the day, I'm sure you'll get it in your office. You need to see how worded it is. Everybody is put on his or her toes. Not just because there's a ban, on this tactical squad. No, but because cutting across the entire policing arrangement, we must, those who have decided, deliberately decided to go contrary to the extant laws, rules and regulations establishing and guiding the operations of the Nigerian police force, that they are, if you, look, it's an issue of if you're not fitting in, you fit out. It's okay. Not as simple as that. As I speak to you, not just them, any other person you find on the road that is doing what is not as, you know, let me say what I think is a major problem we've had is the fact that most of the time we don't get these reports. Most of the time you only see them on social media. And
but when you get reports like this, what lines of action are being taken?
Immediately actions are taken. I'll give you a practical example. There was an instance we have, it was on social media. Someone sent and it said operatives of, somewhere along the Port Harcourt Expressway, they extorted and they did that. The very moment, it was more or less a media report or social media report. It didn't come directly to the command. But I lay hold of that very report and immediately I furnished the Commissioner of Police with that very thing. He had no option than to immediately, it had to do with the 3 p.m. estimate. Immediately he caused an action of investigation into that whole thing. And the state policemen were brought to book. And I speak to you, they're undergoing underground trial. And this is just what it is. That is the nature of the Commissioner of Police in Enugu State. He is not one person you need to tell you a corruption. To what extent do you want to do that? Except it doesn't come to his knowledge. And that is why we keep saying, check most of my press releases. At every channel, I try to advertise the hotlines of the command. Most of the time, I send out email. If you know you cannot make those calls, you can push a message via email. Some people have reported to me via WhatsApp. And once it's getting to me, I'm moving it to the next level where I believe it will be handled. So we must begin to find a way, not just we engaging the public, but the public engaging us. But when we decide to make it look like just a public thing, they were not going to do anything until you cry. That might be true to an extent, but we need to do much more than that.
All right.
You bring this into the knowledge of the police. You give them the benefit of that to do what is expected of them.
All right. Now, with this ban, is there hope for a total end to this menace? Because this is not the first time the IGP is banning such activities of the SARS and other tactical schools. For over 3 years, we have been battling the same issue. Is there going to be a difference, at least, in regards to this ban pronouncement by the IGP?
I strongly believe there will be. Because it's not something, the IGP, I know, is not one person that wants to just do something for doing sake. And I also know down the line to the command, I know my city. If it's not someone I've worked with, I can't vouch for him. I know it's someone that wouldn't want to take. I mean, your reputation is at stake. As a commissioner of police, as the IGP, as the AIG zone, you occupying any office, as a GPO, as an area commander, everybody is not just about. It will be on record that you didn't do what you were expected to do. So people are on their toes. But I'm going to say this. The extent to which this is going to work goes beyond just the police.
Okay.
It is more or less also a society thing. You that has become criminal in nature, some of these crimes and that you, most of the things you see them do, sometimes it doesn't just happen because it needs to happen, but because they will lay hold on something presented by that member of society. But there is no justification whatsoever for you to go beyond your discretionary power and act in ways you ought not to act. They may not be a total end, but I strongly believe that moving forward, the story is certainly going to be a different one. And like I said, there must be an interplay between the police and the society. Someone said, and I strongly believe, the police you have, this can never be any too different from the society it exists. The N Black Lives Matter thing in America, killing of the Floyd and the rest of by the white and the black, you just know it's an inherent thing. It is not because they are American. It's in America. Sometimes this thing plays out also in our own country because we exist in the society. We don't exist in the moon. And we are members of the same society, recruited and trained from the same society. It doesn't mean we are not supposed to perform and act in specific ways, but we also cannot be any better than the society we find ourselves in. I always tell people the issue of police is like a tinted vehicle and a non-tinted vehicle. You know, the public is basically a public thing. You see us,
right.
We are so open to you, everybody, but we must begin to understand that we must make this thing work the way we have to make them work.
Now,
perspective of the police, but the society at large.
And in making things work, Sims Community Policing is part of the options, and it's a model that could lay to rest some of these concerns. But why are we not pushing forward with it? Why are we not making it more robust?
We've pushed extremely. It's something like this. It's not something you expect to happen so spontaneously. Community policing is not a new thing. It's been there. In fact, if you check it historically, you can find even before the advent of the colonial masters, our various societies exercise a measure of community policing. Check the age-based system in our typical Igbo societies. What do you think they used to do? Protect their various communities, their immediate communities against external aggression, share information, work hands in glove to ensure that the security and safety of their immediate community is guaranteed. So community policing is not necessarily, it's just that the IGP has decided to give it a different look and push, especially with the emerging realities of our society and nation Nigeria. So you must make sure it aligns with the time. It becomes one that works in this time and gets the kind of result it should. And that's why I say it must not be just a police thing. It should be a police community thing, society thing. We must decide as a people generally, police or no police, to make things work. Leave police out of the whole thing. Let's make the society work.
All right. And aside brutality by the men of the SARS units, the Nigerian police is now left out. We also know of actions perpetrated by the police force when it comes to brutality, exploitation, theft and harassment. And just recently, the president signed the Nigerian Police Bill 2020 into law that led to a couple of controversies. I had to go through some sections of that bill, and there are some laws that call for questioning. I would love your clarity on these. When it comes to Section 38, Subsection 1, it says that a police officer may, without an order of a court and without a warrant, arrest a suspect whom he suspects on reasonable grounds of having committed an offense against the law in Nigeria or against the law of any other country, unless the law creating the offense provides that the suspect cannot be arrested without a warrant. They can also arrest without a warrant anyone who commits any offense in his presence and anyone who obstructs a police officer while in execution of his duty. And when you go straight to Section 49, a police officer may exercise the power to stop and search in any place the public or any section of the public his access on payment or otherwise as of the right or by the virtue of express of implied permission. An other place to which the public is having ready access at the same time. It also says a police officer may detain and search any person or vehicle where reasonable grounds for suspicion exist that the person being suspected is having in his possession or conveying in any manner anything which he has reason to believe to have been stolen or otherwise unlawfully outlined. Now, it boils down to asking this question. Why should the police be working on suspicion and not on facts?
That is the basis of policing. The basis of policing is suspicion. That is the more reason why even the person you've arrested is a suspect.
So is it not right to, if you suspect, to carry out investigations before you take action? Because it seems the Nigerian police first suspect, then arrest before investigating.
I don't mean, the question is this. What investigation are you carrying? Because I just look at you, I suspect you are either a criminal or you have committed an offense on suspicion first. Then I should go back and sit down and begin to, it's possible that person is on transit. It's possible that person is on the move to go and commit that crime somewhere. The job so demands, by that dictates of the law, demands that at that material moment, you arrest that person. And it is subject to what you, that is where some of even the power we are talking about comes into play. What then does a policeman do in the event where he has reasonably suspected, he has arrested without warrant of arrest in place? What does he do? Does he do what is required of him? Does he screen this individual? Does he make sure that this person actually is, he has suspected for any given crime, is actually what the person has done? Or if it is in possession of any incriminating item, is the person actually possessing it? In the event where that is not the case, automatically you let go of the person. It doesn't mean you have labeled the person a criminal. It doesn't mean you have taken the person to court. It doesn't mean you have convicted the person. It only means you have justified the purpose for which you reasonably suspected that individual. So it's when you check out, okay, like the typical stop and searches we do. That's the essence of it. You are sure, you want to be sure that, okay, what I'm thinking about this person is not the way it is. And mind, even in that law, is not just about the police. It's even about the citizen. You have the right to also effect arrest and hand over same to the police. Look, what we are saying in effect is that the law is very clear and express. And mind you, what you have just quoted from the new repeal act of the Nigerian Police Force has been there. It's not entirely new. It's just that it is modified to meet the demands of the time, if you ask me. Because if you go back to the old law, you see that in Section 25, it says the police has the power to arrest without having warrant in possession. Do you get it? So because, these things.
Okay. Because one will ask the question.
To meet this moment.
All right. One will ask the question, arresting without warrant, isn't it further propagating the harassment which we are fighting for?
Then the the duty of the police. These are powerful. Most time, mind you, this is like we said, is just about discretionary power. Yes, you have the right to do this, and it's only subject to what you make of that. You know, in every situation, that is why the police job is very interesting. In every situation, you're taking decisions. You're taking decisions that must, in the end, the result in the end must be such that align with what extant laws are saying. So it's more about the discretionary power. Now you're looking at this individual, it mustn't be because they see it. You know, people are viewing it from the perspective of because they say arrest, you just go along the street, you pick everybody you see. It is not possible. This thing has been there. It's only a modification to meet this time. No different from what, if you go very literally through the one, you see there are no difference there. And you arrest if it's such that demands that you need warrant of arrest. Because you're not in possession of this, you've arrested the person, take the person possibly to the station, for instance, and you conduct investigation, and there's the need for such arrest to have been effected with an arrest warrant, then you ensure you secure one as part of the whole thing. And like I said, it's not just on the part of the police, even on the part of law-abiding members of society. You have the power to make such arrest too. But you're arresting, you're not going to handle it because you're not the police. You arrest and you take to police. And that is also the essence of the renewed community policing by the Inspector of General of Police. All these things add up to the fact that we need to not just secure our society and ensure public security and safety, but it is done in the most professional manner.
All right. Thank you so much, sir, for your time.
Thank you.
All right. We really do appreciate it. All right. So that's the Police Public Relations Officer here in Enugu State, Dan Ndokwe. All right. We're going to go on a short break. When we get back, we'll open up the talk lines. And after that, we'll get to head back to our guest, Mr. Larry, to also get his reactions on the thoughts of the police PPRO and, of course, the thoughts of the callers. The numbers are 08093-999-945 and 080-999-45-945. Stay with us. All right, it's exactly 5 minutes gone past 10 o'clock. 08093-999-945 and 080-999-45-945. Let's get in your calls in the space of these minutes.
Hello,
good morning.
My name is Fadi. I'm calling from Pigeon Shire.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Based on the issue this morning, I believe the problem Nigeria is having is only police. The corruption in Nigeria, I believe, is the police that is the bedrock of all of them. Because in a country that the corrupt politicians use Nigerian police to shield themselves from the public, I believe that country will not succeed. Nigeria is a country, I believe, that if we get police, commission, in a reformed and make it work, Nigeria will work. Because everything, I believe, boils down to police. Because they are the only people that are supposed to, put everybody on check. Both the corrupt, both the elite, and both the president. Because the man manning a police, manning the president is a police officer. The man manning a politician is a police officer. The man manning a corrupt Yahoo boy that went to steal money is a police officer. Even if I stole money today, I will still call a police officer to come and be protecting me, which means everything boils down to police officer. Thank you.
All right, a nice point you raised there. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Adobe.
Good morning. Your name and location?
Nashi Sofoma from Enugu.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have two questions. One to Larry and one to my friend Ndokwe. I want to know if this railway police, are they free or are they a special squad? Because in their actions, they made you to understand that they are not even under the commissioner of police of the state where they are operating. And their activities are even worse than that of SAS. Because the way they arrest and detain people and keep them there in their place and then defy all deceit to see these people released and then what action they have, crime they have committed. So I want to ask, are they operating under the Inspector General of Police, under the Commissioner of Police, or are they a freelance police officers? And I want to ask Larry, have he encountered either in his report or visit to these railway police officers, the way they operate and things they do?
All right. Thank you so much. Question taken down. Mr. Larry will react to that. Hello. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning, Ado.
Good morning. Your name and location.
Okay. My name is Irene. I'm a Uwani.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. Ado, the issue, I just listened to everything that the police PRO just talked about. Ado, the issue we have is that there is a gulf between the police officers and the men. Everything that he has just said is what anybody would expect. You understand? Well, look, as a young man, I'm 27, I encounter police officers regularly. Everything he said does not really apply to these men. This is why on Twitter, on social media, young people have been agitating and been crying. Because when we tell you what we go through, it's so painful moving around and then being stopped and then being beaten and then being taxed. When they stop you, you get to their station, they label you criminal, label you Yahoo boy, and then you have to start paying money. And they keep threatening, I'll shoot you, and nobody will know. This is what is paining us. Forget.
Hello?
The difference between what they see and what we see. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much. You can also reach out to us on social media. We'll read out most of your comments. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning. Your name and location?
Yes, my name is Chris Anu. I call from Enugu.
You're welcome, Chris. Go ahead.
Yes, the IG has done very well by banning SARS and other people from this block and all that. But I think one other thing he should work on is the behavior, the way the police in general respond to issues, especially those ones that the people don't see out there. I give you a story of what happened when somebody came to work for someone in his premises, and I don't know what happened. The man died in that premises. Police was invited because the first thing you do is to report to the police. Do you know that we, the people that own this dead man, we came there, we said, okay, since the man was walking and died, let's take him home and bury him. But then he said, no, let's go to the station to sort out issues. When we got there, do you know that police started demanding 500,000 naira from the people where this man died? And I got up and I said, for what reason? If people should demand money, it should be we that lost our brother and not you. And finally, the 200,000 naira from these people. What are we portraying? What the IG did is okay, but what about the attitude of those in the office? Because you are banning them from the road. What about their attitude in the office? It is very important that the IG do a total overhauling of the police force. If police must work in this country, and they're killing. You see, I also suggest to the IG, there is one thing we must note. If the police must work very effectively, I suggest that the Commissioner of Police, the DPO, whatever, all these top high-rank officers of the police police force, should come from the indigenous people of that state. All these things that you have, Commissioner of Police, DPO, this and that, coming from other parts of the country, it is nothing to it all, because when they come, when you are telling them your problem, especially when it is culturally involved, they don't understand you, and they are telling you, go and do this, go and do this. It is politics for us. It is better the IG does a total overhauling of police if our All right. police must function very well. My name is Chris Ayimako from Enugu.
All right, thank you so much, Chris, for your thoughts. Keep the calls coming to 8093-999-945. Good morning.
Good morning, my baby.
Good morning. What's your name?
I'm Liz. I'm coming from Ebonyi State.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
My problem is this. Is Nigerian police force only meant for the Southeast? If every player, or every player of Southeast, you have a police checkpoint, it is not applicable in the North. And even all these SARS and the SSEs, have you ever had one day in the North that SARS killed somebody? I've never had that. Maybe I stand to be corrected. So please, I am just asking, what is the problem, what is the crime that we Southeasterners have committed in this country? That we cannot move. I witnessed a situation where this man shot a guy, an Okada man. And they pleaded with him, let them take this man to this. He said that man will bleed to death there. And nothing happened.
It's not just in the Southeast. It takes place in the Southwest as well. Police brutality is everywhere. It's not just secluded to only the Southeast. All right, from Obiese Okechukwu on Twitter. If the police disciplines deviant officers and men and fail to inform the public, how would the public know that anything has been done? Not only doing justice, but it should be seen to have been done. Carry the people along. And also, I feel that if a police officer loses his own life by public execution for extrajudicially taking another person's life, then this carnage on our roads will reduce. This is a recommendation, but what do we see? We see transfers, we see sacking, redeployment, and encouragement of impunity. All right, see from at OBSC Okechukwu, it says, is the PPRO saying that it takes practically weeks for instructions by the LGP to be transmitted to officers on the roads? This is shameful. The Nigerian police lacks the capacity to effectively communicate instructions to all its officers and men. This is shameful. All right, I'm moving over to Facebook. We've got a couple of messages. First from Solomon Inumaya. Inasmuch as we kick against the brutality of SARS on innocent Nigerians, we should also not push for their total overhauling, rather a change of tactic and a call for more professionalism in their operations. If they are totally banned, these men are already used to guns, and they may turn out to be the next bandits in Nigeria. Nigeria has serious security issues and SARS is needed, but they should be cautioned on unnecessary brutality. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Chuga.
You're welcome,
Chukwuze.
Go ahead.
Yeah, staff officers have found their duty, you know, to prevent Nigerians with an opportunity for extortion and stealing money. Property and other fellow learning to suspect and their families. These same staff officers accused people of being internet fraudsters or even armed robbers. You know, what men with red locks, red jeans, flashy cars, tattoos, or even expensive gadgets are most times victims of this tax brutality. You know that some time ago, tax officers, you know, were accused of unlawfully arresting people in television viewing centers, bars, and educational centers. And after this, they read these people in detention and forced them to pay a huge price to get their release. The most painful part of it is that the non-Nigerian authorities have been able to prosecute a single police officer from the Notorious Special Anti-Robbery Squad, despite anti-torture legislation that was passed, I think, in 2016 or 17. So, I heard the PPRO saying that most times they try this to bring out the room. But I want to ask you, when the Black Lives Matter happened in the United States, it was shown that these policemen were arrested, they were sent to prison, and everybody saw it, and people were pleased. So how can a police officer commit a crime, and the public will not know how the police officers are being treated? Is it fair? There should be transparency in the way they handle their activities. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much, Chibaze, for your thoughts. Hello, good morning. 0809 945 945 and 9999945. Morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Your name and location.
My name is Gordon. I'm calling from Chile.
You're welcome. Go ahead, quickly.
Yeah, I just have a question. It's simple. It happened to my friend, you know. Thomas, he was arrested. What? Okay, he got the phone, but he didn't know that he was coming from. You know, along the line, they were demanding money from him. They provided the person that sold the phone to him. They were demanding money from him. In that case, what did that person do? Thank you.
Alright, thank you so much. Still on Facebook from Rudy Daniel. My thinking is that the banning of your brutal action is more necessary than that of the department, because policemen will always behave like they are trained, whether they are in the EFCC, the ICPC, or wherever. I suggest a reform than the banning. Alright, Ianeka Martin says, this isn't ending anytime soon, regardless of the current audio ban and the nationwide outcry. At Computer Village, Ikeja, yesterday afternoon, these SRS guys came again to oppress one Igbo trader. I had to leave the scene when they shot into the air to scare away the crowd, to prevent them from effecting the unwarranted arrest, okay? And Cyril Obi says, my question is, why is it only in the South these dreaded policemen enjoy killing and harassing people? Nothing like this happens in the North. Both the conventional police and the special ones are enjoying the act there. It's high time we reacted and resist by being violent on these bad eggs. Violence is not the answer. You can't be violent, but it still wouldn't stop anything. All right, Chilean, so good luck on Facebook says, total ban of this terrorist in the name of SARS is better for everyone because soon people will take laws into their hands. An IGP's order cannot change at this moment. It's on record that so many other bans such as this have been issued before 2017. Even before, but we couldn't address the issues. All right, let's get in one or two more calls before we get back to our guests. Hello, good morning.
Yeah. Good morning, I do be good to be justice.
Good morning, your name and location.
Yeah, this is the first part, Philip from Aban.
Welcome to Cincy, go ahead.
I don't know if you can remember January, February, I was agitating in radio. Over my very room, I was arrested by anti-court police force. In the only book, in Nisa, I went to the whole police station. And this young guy came back on 12th of December and told us everything that happened. You better take them back because up to today, I never set my eyes on that young boy, the only son of his mother. I shout, nobody listened to me, nobody helped me, nobody agitated with me. Then I never done. We swallow it, I will leave it for God. I don't teach them weapons because they don't know what they're doing to their step. The way they kill innocent souls in this country, you have got to take life, you cannot give. Just because of Nigeria is a place everybody can do anything. And today, other people are crying for brutality and the killings of their sons. And two will be under the same sons. Maybe not should rise against all these things. But I think they'll get to go. Today, the God's anger will rise on them. They'll be turning the God against them. I can arrest somebody's son and you killed him. Of this, never set our eyes on that young man. But we leave it for God. The God of the young man will fight for his life.
All right, hello, good morning.
Hello?
Good morning. Please turn on the volume on your radio set.
Hello?
Go ahead, what's your name?
My name is Samuel, I'm calling from Enugu.
You're welcome, Samuel. Go ahead.
So it's quite appalling what the SARS operatives are doing to Nigerian citizens in this country. It looks like that in other countries. Someone cannot move from the streets freely without any interference. It's quite bad.
All right, thanks for your contribution. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. Hello.
Hello, good morning, Abel.
Good morning. Where are you calling from?
My name is Udi Kuchkudesman.
Go ahead. Hello?
Hello.
Good morning. What's your name?
My name is Roland. Thank you, Manugo.
You're welcome. Go ahead quickly.
Thank you very much. I like this topic. For me, yes. If my IGP should ban, then completely ban us, then they should not be integrated into the Nigerian police. Because those men are not supposed to work as Nigerian police. If you put them back to Nigerian regular policing, they will create another avenue of intimidating them by making money. Because they are in their system. Then that will be 5,000, 50,000, 100,000. They make everything to, so that the government of money they are losing and they are in the road. So the IGP should ban that software operation. They should not remove them from Nigerian, all of them. No matter how you did, how you treat them, no matter if you Nigerian police.
Right. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Your name and location?
Yes. I'm Michael. I'm calling from Abani Road.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
What happened to the conventional police? They say they are banning SARS or they are stopping them from such operation. You see, if you are, for the record, I'm a bus driver. As early as 5 in the morning, you see these policemen extorting money from Okada and bus drivers. Why I'm just talking that is, they might be doing their work, but somebody like me, I can't operate on the road without my papers being okay. And you see what they will do? They will pack you by the side, set up the season time, and they will tell you, don't know what others are doing. One of them proved me plain to my face that he won't release me until I give him 15 naira, that I must give that 15 naira. And this is too much. They are just making people very, things very, very difficult for people. And you see, this country, I don't know what is actually happening. They have to look in, the people that are more notorious that are the, those of one police station. I know men that I can't call in now. They were for one division. They say that they are police. I've got their point. They say at Amoku. They say at Ruban. That is what they are doing. But I pray that God will help us in this country. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. And that's all for the calls. Mr. Larry, over to you. Your reactions on the thoughts of the callers. Maybe starting with this last caller.
Well, I think the citizens should learn how not to give this money. It's a tough job, actually, because like the last caller said, they will detain you, they will do everything to compel you to pay the money. But we have to get to a stage where we borrow a leaf from some bus drivers in Anambra State some time ago who were operating under the umbrella of HRBC. They had a simple code of conduct. Don't pay. And if you are detained illegally, any other bus driver that comes along should park and demand why you are being detained. It worked, actually. It worked for a long time. So I think it's important that we understand that freedom is not just taking. It's not something you collect. You just beg the person to give you my freedom. It doesn't work that way. When you want freedom, you fight for it. It's actually inconvenient. The person who was in the studio yesterday in Echonia precisely kept asking Nigerians, what is the price you're willing to pay for the things you want, for the change you want? And Echonia was saying the truth. I had to mention him by name because I followed that program and I was very impressed with the question he asked. Most Nigerians are not willing to pay a price. We are not resilient. We just talk from the comfort of our homes. But the truth is that imagine if many of us are willing and able to pay a price for the things we desire, there will be a difference. If they ask you to park, you park. By the time 20 buses park there, the same policeman will ask you to go. And passengers should also learn to support these policemen. But let me also say something that is very important. Very, very important. Our policemen will continue to be corrupt and do the wrong things as long as there are no consequences for their actions. I agree with what the PPRO said to the extent that there are good policemen in Nigeria. I also agree that the present commissioner of Enugu State, Abdul Rahman, is actually a person who is committed to change, but he cannot do much if the system is working against him, even if the people have lost confidence. I know that he's a man who on some occasions, I witnessed that incident, actually arrested
police officers who were collecting money along the road. And that wasn't his beat. He was just passing, he noticed some unusual things. And he arrested them and brought them to the police headquarters. I saw those men, I was impressed. But the truth is that a lot of times people don't report incidents because they have lost hope in the system. So I'm also encouraging people not to lose hope. But there's something he said that I want to really, really emphasize. We must learn to actually expose policemen who do things that are not right. Now, we should listen to this carefully. When the policemen arrest us, even before they give us the privilege of defending ourselves, they parade us on television in full glare of the whole world. They tell the world that we are suspects, that we are the people who committed that crime that they have been looking for all over the place. That is called media trial. That is even illegal. We don't parade a person who has not been convicted. But let me assume that our policemen have decided to do that. Why don't they also parade these policemen who kill us? Why don't they parade the policemen who do bad things to us? If they don't want to parade them before trial, because it is wrong, why don't they parade them when they are convicted? Why don't they actually prosecute policemen who kill people for murder? And if they are found guilty, they should be executed like any other murderer. Do you know that when these things begin to happen, when actions begin to have consequences, people will actually pause before they take these actions? Unfortunately, most policemen operate with impunity because they know that their actions will not have commensurate consequences. The citizens must actually rise up to support policemen and police formations that are doing well. I know that the present CP in Enugu is working hard, and we're actually placing some suggestions on his table to help him work better and mobilize people to support him. However, we have to go beyond individuals, because this CP will one day go. So what happens after he leaves? The citizens must actually understand these issues and place a demand on the systems to work, even beyond the police. Because the truth is that if citizens are not above board themselves, they may find it difficult to place a demand on the police to be above board. That is very, very important. Ask yourself, if I'm a policeman, very critical question, and everybody should ask this question. If you're sitting at home and listening to us, ask this question. Ask yourself, if every policeman in Nigeria behaves like me, what kind of police are we going to have? If you ask that question and answer it sincerely, then you will know whether you're in a position to hold the police accountable or not. If every policeman in Nigeria behaves like me, what kind of policing are we going to have in our communities? What kind of outcome are we going to have in our police force? That's right. A question we must all ask and find answers. And then we can now morally begin to ask the police to do better.
All right, so we're going to connect back to the PPRO to also get his own reactions. Hello, sir.
Thank you so much, Abel.
All right, so I want the reactions on most of the comments of the listeners.
Let me start from the last one. I could remember that every day, where the person was talking about extortion and the rest of that. Now, he made specific mention of a division and a given part. And I always will say this. The major problem we have, especially with our motorists, is that our bulk of us are impatient. And some of us would have also decided to deliberately not to do what is right, knowing too well that you might meet this set of police people who are not ready to do things right as well, and you find your way, you have your way, you go. Nothing stops you. If the reason why you are stopped is because they want to look at your paper, search where is your paper, look at this, don't give them, as I say, don't give the devil a foothold. If you think you have the requisite papers to ply on the road for the vehicle and for you as a driver of that vehicle, and you're sure there's no reason why they should keep you beyond the time they should keep you, then what stops you from staying? Our problem is that we are impatient. Even if you are taking to that station, spend that minute and make sure you handle that matter to the end of it. I have had calls severally from motorists, tricycle drivers, commercial buses within the metro and beyond the metro, who will call me to say police here, police that, and beyond the only instantaneously that matter is over, and they leave there without giving anybody any time. But you see, most of us, it's not so good for us, even as a society. Some people just want to go. You know, you get there. If the set of those laws that are not good, you might want to give them 59 or want to give them this. Stop giving them those money.
When did they stop giving them these monies? When they decide not to give them these monies? Most of these young men are being threatened. What would you expect them to
do? What extent would anybody expect that threat? And that is my big question. To what extent?
These are men with arms. These are men with guns.
I don't know. The challenge we have, like I said, is a problem of impatience. I will tell you this. It's a problem of impatience. There's nothing. If it takes you to the police station and keeps your pet, you have to be patient. You also have the right to also follow it up if it keeps you beyond the necessary time. So why not be patient enough and ensure you follow this to the letter? And in the event where this thing happens, most of them don't get to reach out to us. There's no way you're even taking to a police station. You have the audience with a senior police officer in a given position, let's say the DPO, and the person will blatantly refuse to reckon to whatever you're saying. It is not possible.
All right.
So let's also be conscious on our part as members of society to know that we can pick up these issues and it can be trashed out, and you in the end, you realize that the thing would have been resolved the way you want it. But on the whole, let me add up to what Larry had said in his last comment. You realize that policing, I would always believe, is the business of everybody. I'm not coming from the moon. Like, he has a very critical question. Imagine you are the police officer. Would it have done something differently? The police, like I say, they are not coming from the moon. We are members of this same society, and it's only my very, very microscopic aspect of the larger society. So whatsoever most times happen with the police is just a reflection of the society. So we need to come together. We need to begin to look at things. Change should be an individual thing. If you're changed and you're, like I said, you're patient enough to have any issue with any police person, I bet you, the person who doesn't lose patience to say, no, it's because most of us are not even patient. Most times, we don't seem to know how to go about some of these things. So we should make conscious effort as a society to collectively begin to find reasons to handle our situation, the police inclusive. When you have some of this situation, don't hesitate to get across to us. Call me if you can. Call the command emergency hotline if you can. Even the commissioner of police, CP Admiral Abdulrahman, he receives calls from people and they handle issues. Our numbers are for public consumption. So let's make effort to make sure we report this case real time if we can. If we cannot, we report when we can too.
All right.
These numbers, I believe, will be handled.
All right. Can we have the police hotlines?
All right. You can get our hotline on 080-32-00-3702. I take that again. 080-32-00-3702. You can alternatively call the another of the number 0075-39-0883. 0075-39-0883. And you can as well reach me directly via 0099-85-4883. 0099-85-4883. You can send an email to contact 042ppro@gmail.com. Contact 042ppro@gmail.com. If you call the call and not pay, please send an SMS of whatever the situation is. We handle these things and ensure we have the best of policing in the command.
Right.
The city is committed to that, and we believe we push that to the letter. God bless everyone.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you. Thank you so much, Mr. Dan Ndekwe, PPRO of Enugu State Police. All right, we're out of time. Mr. Larry, quickly.
Just briefly, I must thank Superlin Dupo for the professional way he handled the issues and for giving out the numbers. I think that shows that he's also sincere, and I want to place a demand on people to call those numbers when they have problems. And I want to encourage the people who have outstanding problems, especially the young man who talked about the disappearance of a person who was arrested. I happen to be aware of that case. Please, it is important that you still take that matter up, so that if by chance he was killed, there should be some kind of closure, so he will be considered just missing. So you know how to reach us. Please do. Don't. It's not that he will get back to life if he was killed, but at least there should be closure. There should be investigations. We should be able to know what precisely happened to him. The UCP, personally, from my own opinion, is the kind of person who I think will want to reopen that investigation and tidy it up. So please, move ahead and see if we can bring the closure to that particular problem.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Larry Ogwego, National Coordinator of the Human Rights Volunteer Corps. It's been such an interesting time.
My pleasure. It's always a privilege to be here.
All right. And a big thank you to those who listened. Thanks for the calls and, of course, the messages. Stay with us. The Parliament is back tomorrow at exactly 9 o'clock.